A blessed morning to all of you. Thank you for inviting me to grace your pulpit. My church, Sharon Bible Presbyterian Church, started out at Lorong 5 Topayo in 1971. And after 6 years, we outgrown the place, and then Live BP Church has graciously invited us to worship at Live BP Church Sanctuary in the afternoon. And from then on, we have been serving the Lord faithfully for the next 47 years as an afternoon service in Live BP Church. Often when lifers were unable to come for the morning services, they will go to Sharon worship service at 4 p.m. However, please don't do that now. If you were to come to Sharon in the afternoon service, all you see will be an empty sanctuary. And you'll be frightened because you think you were left behind while all other believers were raptured, have been raptured. No, rapture of the saints has yet to happen, right? The reason is Sharon has shifted to another place to have a morning service. So it is somewhere further down the road at Farrer Park MRT, next to the Farrer Park MRT. The place is called Live Farrer Park. So from Live Church, we go to Live Farrer Park. We are still connected to Live. Right? We give thanks to God for leading and guiding us, providing and sustaining us without fail all these years. And today I'm glad to be with you all to share the Word of God with you all. Now, since Sharon is now in the morning service, I got a problem, right? Because if I'm preaching here, who is going to preach at Live Church? So I invited Brother Joel Sia to preach at Sharon Church this morning. So he's preaching there. I think this is fair, right? I believe Live Church has embarked on a series of messages from the book of Malachi. And today I've been assigned to preach on Malachi chapter 2, verses 1-9, and on the topic reckless faith. I believe the messages before me, those who have preached before me on Malachi 1, these preachers will probably dwell with the context and the framework of the book of Malachi. Hence, I will not give any more details regarding the historical part of what is, but focus strictly on Malachi 2. Malachi began chapter 2 with the following words, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." His message is specific. It was addressed directly to the priests. Let me ask you, how many of you are priests here this morning? If you are not, you must be wondering, "Hey, Pastor, what's the purpose of this message?" Right? You know? It's not meant for me, right? You may think that this passage is only for pastors only. By the way, pastors are also not priests, right? So, if you refer to the Old Testament priesthood, right? The Old Testament priests were to be taken from the tribe of Levi. Then they were scheduled to serve the Lord, primarily in the tabernacle or the temple. They were served from the age of 25 to 50, although the age was reduced at the beginning of service from 20 during the time of David. And when they were not serving their ordinary lives back in their homes, their main duties of the priest will include preparing of the sacrifices and, of course, to offer the sacrifices as well. They took care of the temple. They made repairs when necessary. They served as musicians, singers, doorkeepers in the temple worship. They were also teachers of the law and also as scribes. So hence you can see that their main duties had got to do with the worship of God and the ministry of God's word. The Old Testament priests acted as mediator between God and the people as well. Today, none of us performs the role of the Old Testament priest. We no longer need a human priest as a mediator between us and God. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our mediator. The Bible says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 2:5. So the Lord Jesus had laid down his life on the cross, so that he may reconcile us unto God. Now, although his work of atonement has already been accomplished on the cross, yet he continues his ministry in heaven as an intercessor in heaven for us, as our great high priest. So now, every believer, you and I, can now access directly to God without the need to go through a human agency of a priest, as in the Old Testament time. And we call this the universal priesthood of believers, where each of us are made a priest of God. In his first epistle, the Apostle Peter reminded the believers, he said, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Then he said, "And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So Peter pointed out unto us that our calling as priests of God. Well, what I'm trying to say so far is that although the message of Malachi 2 contextually is directed to the Old Testament priest, let it be seen that it can be equally to apply to all of us as well. As we are priests of God, as we also worship God, we also serve God. And moreover, whatever is said of the priest is equally applicable to us, because the message has got to do with our responses to the worship of God and the ministry of God's word. Now, the message of Malachi to the priest was not a message of encouragement. It's not a rah-rah message, well done, you know, good, and so on. No. Instead, it is a hard message, because it pointed the flaws of the priest, the sins of the priest. As this is the word of God, let us take heart to his admonition. Not just turn away from it, even though it is a hard message on sin. The Lord says in verse 2, "If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart." You can see in this verse, accusations were leveled to the priest. What are they? The first part, they refuse God's word and will not hear. Second, they rejected God and will not lay it in their heart. Let's take a look at this. So first, God accused them that they will not hear. What did they not hear? From the context, it refers, of course, to the word of God itself. Why did they not hear? Was it due to some biological hearing impairment? No. Instead, from the phrasing, it suggests that they chose not to hear. It is a deliberate attempt in refusing the voice of God. Now, this stands in great contrast to the teachings found in the Old Testament. Before I go to the Old Testament, let me do a test. Let me have a test for you all. Let me ask you this question. What do you think is the most famous verse or verses in the New Testament? Huh? Sorry? What is it? Yeah. Correct, you know? Well, it is. I think you're correct. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe many of you here know this by heart. Excellent, very good. Now let me test you with another question. What do you think is the most famous verse or verses in the Old Testament? Suddenly, no more. All silent. By the way, it is not "in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Just because you know this verse very well doesn't mean that it is the most famous. Or no, is it "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? Instead, it is a passage taken from Deuteronomy. It is found in Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 to 6. What does it say? It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 to 6. And this passage is a chief passage among the Jews. The Jews were trained from young to memorize and to recite this passage. And this forms the centerpiece of the Jewish morning and evening prayer, right? So, you know, in a way, it is something like the Lord's Prayer. I think you all know it very well. All devout Jews would know this by heart, very much like, you know, whether you know the Lord's Prayer that you know. Even the Lord Jesus quoted these verses to ward off the temptation of Satan at the commencement of his earthly ministry, right? And this passage is known as the Shema, you know, because it begins with the Jewish word Shema. Shema means hear, hear, O Israel. So when the Lord accused the priests during the time of Malachi that they will not want to hear the word of God, it is a refusal of God's word. When God in his word clearly instructs the people to hear, and now you have a case of this priest here refusing to hear. It is not a case where the words of God is hard to be heard, where upon hearing, even though you heard it, you cannot even understand it, as if God was speaking to you in a different tongue to them, or as if I speak Greek or Hebrew to you and so on. No! Instead, they choose to cup their ears and refuse to listen to the word of God. If the priest who was supposed to handle the word of God and teach it to others, and they refuse to listen to the word of God themselves, what will happen? Would the people who are led by this priest ever benefited from the word of God? The answer clearly is no, right? The people, what will happen to the people under their care? They will follow these leaders as well unto their destruction. We can see that in the Old Testament, God actually sent them prophets upon prophets to bring them the word of God and to direct them in his will for them. You know what happened? They ended up killing all the prophets. The prophets who were the spokesmen of God who bring the word of God to them, they killed them all. And when God himself spoke directly to them on Mount Sinai, in the midst of the thunderings and lightnings and smoke, God gave them the Ten Commandments in his own words. The people feared and they make a request to Moses. You know what it is? You know, they ask Moses to speak to them instead of God speaking to them. As you can see, there's always this refusal on their part in regard to the word of God. My question is that your approach to the Word of God as well? I believe all of us here know the importance of the Word of God. But in practice, do we really give effort to the hearing of God's Word? When the Word of God is preached, you know, let's say in the worship service and so on, you know, what is in your mind? Where shall we go for lunch later, right? When the word of God is preached, how attentive are you to listening to God's word? When you read the word of God, how diligent are you in giving yourself to what God is saying to you? Right? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is only when we give ourselves every opportunity to the hearing of God's word, we will grow in our faith. The word of God is nutrients to our faith. Without it, we can never grow. Now, if you are seated here, if you were to take stock of your spiritual life, let me ask you, when was the time you felt that you grow most spiritually in your life? Wasn't it a time when you were immersed in the Word of God? And if your faith is not growing as it ought to, then the question I ask is, why is it so? Is it not because we have not given ourselves enough to the hearing of God's word? Then what must we do? Simple, rededicate yourself to the study of God's word. I believe the church has so many programs and avenues for you to do so. In fact, we have even established the Bible College to equip our lay people with the word of God. Hence, we must always be ready to give attention to the hearing of God's word. And when God speaks through his word, open your ears to receive them gladly. Psalm 62 verse 11 says, God has spoken once and twice have I heard. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. The psalmist's approach should be our approach. That's why when God created you and I, we are created with 2 ears and 1 mouth. God did not create us with 2 mouths, right? No? You can eat and talk, right, at the same time, and 1 ear, right? No? Why? No? We are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And when you do so, you receive the blessings of the Lord. Another point we must note is that we must not be selective in hearing God's word. Do not listen only when God's word sounds nice to you and close your ears when you feel otherwise. Right? That would be a wrong approach, because every aspect of the word of God is for a purpose. What is the purpose? For our profit. And the word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the word of God is not just positive, you observe. It also shows us our flaws. It actually points us to our mistakes and then to our sins. It reproves us. After that, it corrects us in our ways with instruction in righteousness. It directs us back unto God. So the word of God is not just promises of all good things and never shows us our sins. There is a very famous tele-evangelist based in Texas who always preach a very positive message. He only preach positive messages only. So when interviewed, when interviewed why he never preach on sin, his answer was that, you know, everyone knows they are a sinner, you know, I don't want to add on to their burdens, right, and their guilt. Let me ask you, if we do not preach on sin, and if the people is not pointed out that they are sinners, pray tell me, why do they need Jesus Christ as their Savior? To save them from what? If it's not sin, right? Even God's word in our passage today, though clearly pointed out the sins of the priests, right? Isn't this biblical to preach on sin? Did not Jesus come into the world to cause sinners to repentance? So if we preach a gospel which does not include the topic of sin, are we preaching a complete and true gospel? Or are we preaching a perverted gospel? So let us open our hearts to the hearing of God's word, especially when the word of God hits you and points out your sins. People may not know, but when you read it and it points out to your sins, thank God for that, right? For it is the word of God, and it's through hearing it that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the priests refused the word of God, what happened? They hardened their hearts against God. Malachi chapter 2 verse 2 says that they will not lay it in their heart. What this means that even, let's say for example, they accidentally, put in quotes, accidentally listen to the word of God, they will not place it in their hearts. Instead, they quickly take the word of God and threw it out of their hearts. They not only did they refuse God's word per se, but they totally rejected God. When they choose to reject God, God will also surely reject them. Now, when Isaiah caught the vision of the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up with his train filling the temple, Isaiah was in awe. And then he heard the voice of the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Without hesitation, Isaiah replied, "Here am I, send me." I do not know whether he knows what he's in for or not when he said that, right? Because after Isaiah accepted the calling to be sent, do you know what the Lord commissioned him? The word of God says, and he said, and God said, "Go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Isaiah was commissioned to preach the gospel to a people who will not hear. People will shut their eyes. Why would people do that? The answer is given by God to Isaiah, that perchance, that these people will see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and they'll be converted and be healed. So what this means is that the people did not want to listen and see because they were fearful they would end up repentant and be converted and be healed. This speaks about the severity of their degree in rejecting God. They rejected God not because they were ignorant, do not know God's word, or they have a wrong understanding of who God is. Instead, they rejected God because they chose that God would not save them. Why then would God send Isaiah to preach to such a group of people who reject God? Wouldn't it be a waste of time and effort on Isaiah? But here we see the beauty of the mercies of God. That even as the people reject him, God still unconditionally sent his prophets to preach peace to them. And at the same time, God also used this to demonstrate his righteousness. Because one day, all of us, we have to appear the judgment of God. Whether you are a believer or not, no one can escape the judgment of God. And then when you are standing before your Creator God, what will you say when it's pointed out to you that you have rejected God? Can you plead innocence and say that, "Oh, I did not know the gospel and who Jesus is"? Then God will show you how he has sent so many to share the gospel with you, and you have rejected them. You'll be judged without excuse. You know, you'll be punished for your sins. You know, you can't blame God or anyone else. So God is indeed righteous. But if you have believed the Lord Jesus, God will welcome you into his heaven. You'll spend eternity with God forever. So my dear friends, what will be your destiny the day when you meet God face to face? Peradventure, some among us this morning may have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ many times and have yet to believe. My question, why not now? Why not confess your sins unto the Lord and live a life of repentance, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior? Because by doing so, you'll be certain that there is hope in the eternity to come. What is hindering you from this act of faith in trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Perhaps to some who are watching this online, wherever you are, you may have been disappointed with God or even with the church at one point in time. And now, as you struggled in life, trying to find yourselves back in the right path, here is the word of God for you. Let not sin dwell in you and draw you away from your faith in God any further. Return unto God, for in God there's always mercy and forgiveness. Listen to what the author of the epistle to the Hebrews says. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Harden not your heart. Seek the Lord. When David sinned against God and started drawing away from the Lord sent his prophet to speak to David. David responded and returned to the Lord with humility. And in Psalm 51, David wrote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So David, in the book of Psalms, wrote about his sin and how he returned unto God. Can you just imagine that? What is Psalms? The book of Psalms is a book, or the Psalms are meant for worship singing, right? So imagine, let's turn to opening hymn, you know, and then you sing about your sins to the people, right? David wrote the psalm, right? You know? And the psalm is about the sins and so on. Can you imagine, you know, your sins being sung at worship service? That shows a repentant heart of David, right? So he said, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Yes, God will never reject those who come to Him seeking His grace and mercy, because the Lord is full of compassion and gracious, plenteous in mercy and truth. God has given us His revealed word so that we may know who God is and what God expects from us. The only way to blessedness is to trust God and to obey Him. The hymn writer, John Samis, do you know who is John Samis? Many of you do not know, but when you see what he wrote, you'll know. He wrote in the hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." What must you do? But to trust and obey, right? You know? So in the, you know, the hymn is so beautiful in the sense that it's so simple and clear. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we are reminded the way to blessedness. The Apostle John wrote, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." A man is blessed when he reads, hears the word of God, and then what happened? Keep them in his heart. So not only are we to hear the word of God, but we must keep in our heart and act on it. Jesus taught this principle clearly in the parable of the builders. So there were, in this parable, there are two builders, right? One wise, one foolish, right? The wise builder heard the word of God and built his house upon the rock, while the foolish man heard the word of God and built his house upon the sand. When the rain descended and the floods ascended, the house built on the sand fell flat, while the house built upon the rock stood firm. What is the similarity between these two builders? Both of them heard the word of God. Not that the wise man only heard the word of God, foolish man never heard. Both of them heard the word of God. But only the wise man kept it to heart and built his house according to the architect's instruction. Right? Hence, blessedness come by hearing, and not just hearing, by obeying the word of God. However, if we choose not to listen and obey God's word, God says that not only will He withdraw His blessings, but He also turn the blessings into cursing. That's why in Malachi chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, it's stated there. God says He'll curse their blessings. Do not be surprised by the strong language used here. God certainly did not mince His words when He said that. So to those who choose to honor God, God will surely honor them. But to those who choose to despise the Lord, to reject the Lord, they too will be rejected by God. In the Bible, we can see how the Lord blessed Aaron and chose him to be first high priest of Israel. And not only that, God ordained the succession of the high priest should not come from any other place but from the family line of Aaron alone in this order of the Levitical priesthood. So it was such a great honor bestowed by God upon Aaron. However, two of the sons of Aaron chose to despise the Lord, Nadab and Abihu, despised the word of God and did not keep the instruction of God's word. They offered strange fire unto the Lord. So God sent a fire down to devour them. Then you have Eli, the last priest of high priest of the tabernacle, before Israel entered into the era of the judges through the hands of Samuel. Eli, the high priest, also had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They too despised the Lord's sacrifices, and the Lord judge them both. I have three sons, not two for me. Serving God is a privilege and a blessing. It shows that God has manifested His grace upon us and called us to serve Him. So as God's people, do you know, as God's people, you are very blessed. God has given us His holy word so that we may know Him. We may know how to conduct ourselves. We know how to live our lives. God did not leave us groping in the darkness as to how we ought to live our lives after saving us. Instead, He transformed us from darkness into His marvelous light. God has sent His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem us with His precious blood, purely out of His grace, right? And He does not give us what we deserve, the punishment of our sins. God has given us the promises of His covenant, right? Whereby He will send the Holy Spirit into our hearts to lead and guide us in our walk of faith. God provides us. God protects us. God preserves us until the day we return unto Him. What great blessings which we have received from the Lord. Surely, you'll be very reckless for us to throw away all these blessings of God and turn them into a curse. The same applies to the priest in Malachi's time. You know, when you go back, you read verses 4 to 7 of chapter 2, God has promised His covenant with Levi. It was a covenant unto life and peace. The law of truth was given to them so that they may walk right with the Lord. They were to teach knowledge to the people and seek God's law in their hearts because they were messengers of God. What great blessings which God had given them. But what did they do with the blessings of God? Verse 8 says that they have corrupted the covenant and caused many to stumble at the law. So hence, God says that He will turn their blessings into a curse unto them. Instead of honor, now they would reap the disdain of the people and the judgment of God, right? Their recklessness with God's blessing has corrupted the covenant of God. This message is applied to us as well. Let us take heed to the warnings from the Word of God for us today, right? Just now you read in a responsive scripture reading taken from Hebrews. What does it say? First verse says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should come short of it, right? So let us not take the spiritual things of God for granted and despise them. Open your ears to the preaching of the Word of God that you may grow in your faith. Listen to it, obey it, act upon it. Open your heart to be receptive to God. Embrace God wholeheartedly. Trust Him fully. Seek Him with a humble and contrite heart. Be not reckless in your faith regarding the spiritual things of God. Because if you do so, God can turn all your blessings into a curse. So as we come before the Lord today, let us pour out our hearts unto Him. Let us learn to pray, ask God to look at us if there's any flaw in us. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let this be our prayer unto God. You know, always, constantly asking God to search us. May the Lord speak to your heart and help us all. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, indeed we praise Thee and thank Thee, because Thou art a God who has given us such tremendous blessings, the blessings of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, once we were lost, but now we are found. We thank Thee for the provisions that Thou hast for us, as well as our loved ones. We thank Thee for Thy Word, which Thou hast given unto us to be our guide. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit which indwells us. And Father, we have so much to thank Thee for. But I pray, Father, that Thou will help us to appreciate the spiritual things that Thou hast bestowed upon us. Let us not despise it. Search our hearts, O Lord, and help us, Lord, to draw nigh to Thee, that we will be indeed faithful servants of Thee.
All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.